talk today about how to be successful in your Christian walk. You know, we've talked about it probably most of the scriptures we look at today you've seen, but I know you don't have them committed to memory, because if they did, you'd be probably a millionaire today. Amen? And being as we're not millionaires yet, we're still working on it. Hallelujah. We are successful in what we do and what we put our hand to. And we want to just look again at the principles. You know, they're not there to have heard one time. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and that the tense of that word hearing is continuous and repeated. It means faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing, and hearing comes by the Word of God. Amen? So we know that faith comes by the Word of God after hearing it and continuously hearing it. We go from faith to faith and from glory to glory. You know, we don't just come into the kingdom and stay there and never grow. I mean, I hope you don't do that. Amen? Because God never intended for us to do that. It's just like our spiritual life is just like our natural life. You don't want a baby when it's born to just never get beyond sucking on a bottle. You know, I mean, who wants to be having to give a bottle to a 12-year-old, you know? Hallelujah. God never intended that process to be, you know, and, you know, so God wants us to grow up physically. Our parents want us to grow up physically, and God wants us to grow up spiritually, and it's a continual process of learning and hearing the Word and growing, and, you know, you can hear something time after time after time, and maybe after 20 or 30 times, finally you see it, and you go, oh, praise God. Well, aren't you glad you were there for that last time? For the 30th time that you heard that scripture. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, we're going to go to Joshua 1:8. And, you know, Joshua is the one that took over after Moses died and went to be with the Lord. And that was quite a daunting task for him, because there were, some estimate, close to 6 million children in of Israelites, about 6 million of them. And Moses is a strong leader, and he was able to gain their respect and lead them. But now here you've got Joshua. He's coming in after Moses left. And you know, when somebody new comes in, there's always somebody that's got an attitude, you know. And so he had to deal with all kinds of things. We just don't even know. But not only did he have to lead them into the promised land, he had to divvy up the land for them. You know, well, you know, when you start dividing stuff up, you know, people want to get in strife and all kinds of stuff coming in. Well, I wanted that piece. Well, I wanted that, you know. And so, you know, there's a lot to deal with. But if we start in Joshua 1:1, it says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, there are some people that believe Moses never died, but the Bible says he died. And there's another scripture that says his body was in the mountains. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I'm giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. Now, if you're living in a politically correct world, they couldn't go in and take anything because it already belonged to somebody else. But see, we don't live in a politically correct world. We live in God's world. Amen? And God said, he let the Hittites live there, but he's given it to the Israelites. Amen? Hallelujah. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. Boy, don't you know that was comforting? I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. He didn't say from your eyes. He said from your mouth. But you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then, after you've done that, you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Now we're going to zero in on that verse number 8. It's kind of a compilation of the other things that were said, but isn't that wonderful that God told him, be strong and of good courage? He said, don't be afraid or dismayed because I'm with you wherever you go. Hallelujah. You know, one of the things that we need to meditate on and thank God for is that wherever I go, He goes with me because He's living on the inside of me. And everywhere I go, He's there to be a comfort to me. He's there to lead me, to guide me, to take care of me, to protect me. So we're the blessed of the Lord. And we can see here that He told Joshua, He said, now this is how you're going to have good success. He didn't just say, well, take the children in and divide up the land. He gave them very specific directions. And there are five things that we're going to be looking at here in this verse that I want you to make note of. Number one, the importance of the book of the law. Number two, keep the word in your mouth. Number three, meditate on it day and night. Number four, observe to do it. And number five, make your way prosperous. Hallelujah. So we're going to look at these four things, and we're going to see what God was telling Joshua, because He confirms this throughout the Word. He didn't just say this one time here, you know, to Joshua and, you know, hope that he'd get it. This is a principle, really, that God has put into the earth. And it's a spiritual principle that when you do these things in verse 8, when you keep the book of the law in front of you and you keep it in your mouth, that you can make your way prosperous and have good success. Amen? So we want to look at the book of the law and why is it that God says that we have to keep the book of the law, that it shouldn't depart from our mouth? Why is that? I want you to go with me to Jeremiah 8, 9. And we are going to be looking at a lot of scriptures. So you might want to just copy the scripture verse down and study it for yourself later. Jeremiah 8, verse 9. It says, how can you say we are wise and the law of the Lord is with us? Look, the false pen of the scribe certainly works falsehood. Wrong verse. The next one. The wise men are ashamed. They are dismayed and taken. Behold, they have rejected the word of the Lord. So what wisdom do they have? What Jeremiah is saying here is that wisdom comes from the Lord. And you know, one thing you're seeing in the world today is they're trying desperately to nullify the Word of God and put everything on man's wisdom, man's ability, man's power. I heard the other day they are even changing the AD and the BC, where it used to be before Christ and after His death. Now they're trying to make it say something else. Listen, you can say and believe whatever you want to out there. It's always going to be after the death and before Christ. It's still the year that He was born. Amen? No matter what you try to do, no matter how you try to change it, you can't get God out of it. They're desperately trying to get God out of everything so they can just do whatever their flesh desires. But we know that our hope and our strength comes from the Lord, and it's in the Word. Amen? So when we want wisdom, we go to the Word to find our wisdom. We don't go to the world. Hallelujah. We go to the Word. And then in Psalm 19, see, the book of the law holds wisdom for us. In Psalm 119, verse 11, I love this scripture. Psalm 119, verse 11, your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Listen, putting the word of God in your heart helps keep you walking the straight and narrow. Amen? It gets your conscience. When you're tempted to go a different way, your conscience will speak, because the word in there will rise up and go, uh-uh, you'll have an uneasiness. So we need to keep the word of God in our heart. Amen? It's a place of wisdom for us. The Bible says that the word of God is a witness for or against us. I want you to go to Isaiah 55:11. This is one of my favorite scriptures. Isaiah 55:11. So shall my word be. What we're talking about, the word of God, the book of the law. So shall my word be that goes forth from what? From his mouth. God is saying this is what it's going to be. My word coming from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. So Joshua has this scripture in his heart, and he's speaking out, God said, we will inherit the land. Now, every circumstance looks like it's not going to do it. All of the circumstances. You're going to go in to quote somebody else's land. You know, it's not somebody else's land. God just let them live there for a while. But God gave them. It's just like America. I believe I'm not against the Indians or doing anything for them. But quite frankly, I think God let them live here. And he gave it to the Christians to come over and settle and make a difference in the world. And, you know, we have up until just recently. You know, we made a big difference. But the devil is trying to dilute the effect that we have, the influence that we have. He's trying to demean it, you know. But we're going to stand on the word. And one thing we know, Isaiah 55:11, that the word of God, if we put it in our mouth, it will accomplish what he sent it forth to do if we speak it out in faith. Amen? So Isaiah 55:11, very important that the word is a witness. The word is our testimony. The word is a fact. You know what God said, when God sent forth a word to the children of Israel through Joshua that you will go and take the land, then it's impossible for that word to not come to pass unless people give up on it. See, it doesn't matter what comes against you. It doesn't matter how many armies you have to face. All you need is the word of God, and it will come to pass, Isaiah 55:11 says. If God said it, it'll come to pass if you stand in faith and carry it to the end. Hallelujah. But sometimes people give up too soon, and it doesn't do what it was supposed to do because they gave up, because they're not in faith, not because of any other reason. So we're looking that the word is a witness in our life. Joshua 24, if you'll go there with me. Joshua 24, verse 25 through 27. So Joshua, this is the end of the book. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and made for them a statue and an ordinance in Shechem. Then Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God. And he took a large stone and set it up there under the oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said to all the people, behold, that behold means look and see. This stone shall be a witness to us, for it has heard all the words of the Lord, which he spoke to us. It shall therefore be a witness to you, lest you deny your God. Listen, if nothing else, if you can't get anybody else to get in line with you for what God's promised, get a stone. Hallelujah. Put it on your dresser. Hallelujah. Put it on your dresser and say, listen, stone, this is between me and you. Hallelujah. God's promised this and he will accomplish it. And you're my testimony. Hallelujah. If nobody else believes it or receives it, I got a witness right here in this stone. Hallelujah. Amen. The word of God is true. Let every man be a liar, but the word of God is true. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. A stone of testimony. Now go with me to Deuteronomy 31. Deuteronomy 31. You know, stones are living. The Bible says a living stone. Deuteronomy 31, verse 26. Take this book of the law and put it beside the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, that it may be there as a witness against you. Listen, this Bible is a witness of what God has spoken. And it is a witness against and for things and people. Amen? So whatever you decide for the word to be a witness against, it will be a witness against if that's what God spoke. But if you want it to be a witness for something, if you want it to be a witness for prosperity that God has promised you, then that scripture is a witness. For God's prosperity was spoken to you. And His words, listen, we have to understand, He doesn't just go around speaking lightly. He's not a person that just talks to be hearing Himself talk. What God says has meaning and life in it. And when He says something to you, when He gives you a word, whether it's a prophetic word for somebody or whether it's a word in the Scripture that you click, that you get, that the Holy Spirit has made a revelation to you, either one of those, God is going to cause them to come to pass because He said so. He said, if I sent forth a word to do something, it'll be done. If you stand in faith, keep it in your mouth, it'll be done. It'll be accomplished. Amen? Hallelujah. He doesn't speak lightly. He speaks forth so that things will happen. Amen? He has spoken forth for the children of Israel that they would prosper, that they would be blessed. And you know what? They could own that whole Holy Land today if they hadn't gotten into sin and turned their back on God. But they got into worshiping other gods, and it cost them. But that wasn't God's intention. That wasn't what He spoke for them. He spoke prosperity and success in everything that they had coming to them. Amen? Hallelujah. Now let's go to Nehemiah. Nehemiah. It's page 622 in my book. Give myself a little break here. Nehemiah chapter 8, verses 7 through 9. I'm going to be starting midway through. There are several people named here, and the Levites helped the people to understand the law, which is the Word of God. And the people stood in their place. So they read distinctly from the book in the law of God, and they gave the sense and helped them to understand the reading. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep." For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. But they're given strict instructions there. They helped them understand the word. Why? Because they needed to have that word in their heart. And if they didn't understand what was being spoken, they wouldn't be able to speak it back with confidence. Amen? Now we're in Nehemiah. Go to verses 17 and 18, chapter 8 still. So the whole assembly of those who had returned from the captivity made booths and sat under the booths. For since the days of Joshua the son of Nun until that day, the children of Israel had not done so. And there was very great gladness. Now they're coming back to the Lord. They've been backslidden and they're coming back. Amen. Also, day by day, from the first day until the last, he read from the book of the law of God. And they kept the feast 7 days, and on the eighth day there was a sacred assembly according to the prescribed manner. God was very meticulous in what he wrote in terms of the book of the law for the people. He gave them exact times to worship, exact times to praise, exact types of offerings. It wasn't just some willy-nilly thing. He gave them special kinds of offerings, peace offering, a sacrifice, a tithe, a free will offering. There were many kinds of offerings that God had them to bring, and he was very specific in that, you know. And sometimes people don't like specifics. They want to just do what they want to do. Just tell me to bring an offering and let me do it like I want to. Why you have to be so rebellious? Why can't you do it the way God wants you to? If he has a certain way for you to do it, why can't you do it his way? Amen? And we need to keep our heart in that manner toward the Lord. Father, whatever you say is what we do. Amen? It's not about what I think about what you said. It's about what you said. Hallelujah. All right, Nehemiah chapter 9, verses 1 through 3. Now on the 24th day of this month, the children of Israel were assembled with fasting, in sackcloth, and with dust on their heads. Then those of Israelite lineage separated themselves from all foreigners, and they stood and confessed their sins and the iniquities of their fathers. And they stood up in their place and read from the book of the law of the Lord their God for 1/4 of the day. Can you imagine? That's 6 hours. They read the book for 6 hours. And for another 4th, they confessed and worshiped the Lord their God. That's another 6 hours they confessed the word and worshiped God. Well, I'm telling you, you're going to be on fire after you do that, you know. You're going to be ready. Hallelujah. You sit and listen to the word for 6 hours, you're going to want to get up and praise Him. Amen? For another 6 hours. We need to see more of that today. We should be doing some of that in our homes. We should probably do more of that here at church. Praise God. But we're looking to be successful in our Christian walk. The very first thing we have to do is have the book of the law in our life. It holds wisdom for us. It's a witness for us. It gives direction. Turn with me to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verse 130. The entrance of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. Hallelujah. That's why we need to get in the Word. You might say, well, I got in the Word, you know, and I didn't get anything. Well, that's because you didn't read long enough or you weren't in the right place. You know, sometimes people want to just throw the book open and go like this. You know, and then that's my word and that's my promise. Like it's your horoscope, you know. The Bible is not your horoscope, but I promise you, God has a way of you opening the book and He can take you to the right place. Now, I'm telling you, that has happened to a lot of people, but that you don't want to just count on that, you know. You want to be reading through the word on a regular basis. That's why we do read through the Bible in a year. You know, I don't know how many times people have read through the Bible here. We've had some that have read it every year for the last 15 years. You know, I've almost done that, not every year, but I've gotten almost through every year. There have been some years I missed a book or maybe 3 books or 4, but I've come close to reading through the whole thing probably for 15 years. You know, and there's still, when I go back and read it, I think, geez, I didn't remember that being there. You know, and it's exciting to watch God work. And I especially like the first 5 books where we see, you know, God moving on behalf of Abraham and all of them, you know, in that time. You know, it's just so wonderful to see the blessing of the Lord manifesting itself. So anyway, we need the Word to give us direction. If you'll also go in Psalm 119 to verse 105, it says, your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Now, I heard somebody say one time, what this means here is it not only shows you where you're standing, but it shows you where you're going to go. The Word of God. God didn't just say, you know, you're going to have this little light around you and it's just going to follow you. You're going to have to take baby steps and, you know, hopefully it'll be ahead of you. He said, no. He said, I'm going to show you where you are, but I'm also going to show you where you're going, and I'm going to do it through the Word. Amen? So it's important for us to have the Word in our life. Hallelujah. And then the 4th thing about the book of the law, the reason we need to have it, is it's a foundation of our faith. Go to Romans 10:17. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Notice faith comes. You know, the Bible says we've all been given a measure of faith. Everybody's been given a measure. I don't know if it's the same measure or if it's the same equivalent measure. You know, because some people get a better start in life than others. But what we know is God gives everybody a starter of faith. You know how when women, your grandmas and your mamas were baking, they had what they called starter dough? Yeah. You know, they had it aside in a jar, and when they got ready to bake something, they'd take a pinch of it and put it in there. Well, God gave us a starter of faith. Amen? But He expected us to go from there and do something with it. So He told us here in Romans how to increase our faith. And He said, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So if you want to increase your faith, hear the Word of God. Listen to the Word of God. And earlier I said that word is continuous and repeated. Faith comes by hearing. That the tense there is continuous and repeated, not just a one-time having heard. It doesn't say faith comes by having heard the Word of God. Now, is it true that you will receive faith by having heard? Well, yeah, there are some things that you can get from having heard, but there are other things you'll never get until you hear and hear and hear. Amen? So we want to always keep the Word of God active in our life, because that's what helps us build our faith and keeps us on the right track. Amen? And then the other scripture that talks about the foundation of faith is Hebrews 11:1. Hebrews 11:1. And it says now, so we know faith is now. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now what we know from this scripture is that this isn't talking about, oh boy, I sure hope God's going to do something. It's not that kind of a hope. The hope that it's talking about here is a confident expectation. Okay, so faith is the substance of a confident expectation for things that you haven't seen. So that what's that saying? That's saying that when I'm believing God for something, when I'm using my faith to believe for something, let's say my child has a special something to do at school and I need $50 for them, okay? Well, maybe I'm on a tight budget. Maybe I don't have that $50. So what I do is I go to the Lord and I take a scripture that He said He'd supply all of my need. So with that scripture, I can go and my faith can rest on that scripture and hope in that scripture, have a confident expectation in that scripture that God's going to do what He said He'll do. Now, that word also means a title deed. The substance means a title deed. So when you come in faith, you have the equivalent of the title deed of what you need. Amen? So somebody can't take it from you because when you come in faith, standing on the Word, you got the title deed for it. That means you own it. And all you have to do is stand until it manifests. A lot of scriptures in the Bible promise God will meet our need. So you stand on that. Now where a lot of people miss it is they're really in, I hope it comes. They're not in a confident expectation of hope that God promised it. And then, you know, like Isaiah 55:11, what He promised, what He sent the Word to do, it will accomplish it. He sent Philippians 4:19 that God would meet all of our needs according to His riches and glory. He sent that scripture to us that it would give us hope, confident expectation that if we had a need, He would meet it. Amen. Hallelujah. So we can take the Word of God. We should take the Word of God as a foundation for what we're believing for and stand in faith until it manifests. You might say, well, what if it doesn't come? Well, then you need to talk to the Lord. If it didn't come on time, you need to talk to the Lord and find out what happened. Because He promised He'd get it to you, and if it didn't come, then something happened. Maybe you got in strife. Maybe you got in fear. Maybe you said to somebody, I sure hope that money comes because I need it. Well, that's not faith. I'm sure hoping the money comes because I need it. That's not faith. That's the other kind of hope. That's not even a confident expectation. So we have to stand in faith, believing, and God will do what He said He'll do. You know, and where some people miss it is they're not sure God's going to do it. You know, like putting it off on God. I mean, are you so perfect and He's not? You're telling me you're the perfect one? You're standing in faith? You're doing everything, but God's going to miss it? I don't think so. I mean, that's a wrong attitude right there. That'll cost you. See, you can't have doubts toward God doing what He said He'll do. God is not a man that He should lie. And if He said it in His Word, He will do it. And He said, Isaiah 55:11, whatever I speak it forth to do, it will do and prosper in it. Not just do it, but accomplish it and prosper in it. Hallelujah. And that's certain. That is for sure. That is certain. God is not a liar. And if for some reason it didn't come in, you need to get to your prayer closet and find out what happened. Sometimes it's just a matter of somebody didn't obey God. So what you have to do is say, God, whoever that was, I choose to forgive them in Jesus' name, and I just send the angels to get it from somebody else because you're going to meet my need one way or the other. If that one doesn't want to be obedient and give me this seed, you know, plant the seed in my life, then you'll find somebody else that'll do it. Amen. Hallelujah. But we have to know that we know that God is faithful and trustworthy. Amen. Hallelujah. So we can see we need to have the book of the law in our life, like just like he told Joshua, this book of the law. Well, the book of the law was to hold, it holds wisdom for us. It is a witness for us. It gives direction to us. And it is the foundation of our faith. Amen? So having the word is important. You know, you can't stand in faith without having the word of God, because faith comes by hearing the word. Amen. So, moving on here, we've talked about the book of the law, Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. Well, that's talking about your confession, isn't it? See, we need to keep the word of God in our mouth. And what too many people do is they've gotten to where, you know, these little cliches that people say, you know, like, I remember, I think it was Michael Jackson that brought one out, and he said, yeah, that's bad, meaning it was good. You know, you got to be careful getting into that kind of stuff, because it will confuse your spirit, you know. Bad is not good, and good is not bad. Bad is bad, good is good, and God is good, the devil is bad. If it comes to steal, kill, and destroy, it's bad. It's not bad good, it's bad bad. Okay? Don't confuse your spirit, keep it straight. Hallelujah. So we have to keep the word of God in our mouth. And we're going to look at some scriptures that talk about our confession. Romans 10, if you'll go there. Romans 10, verses 8. We're just going to go ahead and look at verse 8 through 10. But what does it say? It's talking about, but the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? It says the word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So we know this is how salvation comes. Believing in your heart and confessing with your mouth is how you get saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So you have to believe that God has promised righteousness to you. Amen? And then you speak that forth, and when you do, it brings salvation into your life. You become a new species of being. Hallelujah. It's a metamorphosis takes place when you get saved. It's, you know, it's just like when a caterpillar becomes a butterfly. The butterfly is still who the caterpillar was. It's just in a different form. Well, that's what happened when we get saved. We are the same. We are the same spirit, but it takes on a different form. We've been created and made righteous. Amen? From what we were. We were unrighteous, but God made us righteous. So we can see here that we need to keep the word in our mouth. And one reason you keep the word in your mouth is so it'll get down in your heart. Amen? That's why you need to be careful what you're putting in your mouth. Because what you put in your mouth goes down into your heart. And you can sow corruption. You can sow unbelief. You can sow wrong things in your heart by keeping the wrong thing in your mouth. Amen? I remember not too long ago, the Lord spoke to Reverend Gerald, and he said, quit saying I love this and I love that. I love apple pie and I love a chocolate brownie. He said, you don't love those things. You know, you might like them, but you don't love them. And quit saying that, because it affects you. It'll pull on you. You'll find, you know, I really like chocolate brownies with chocolate icing on them. But if I start saying, man, I love a good brownie with icing on it, well, that takes on a different feel. Amen. Now I'm going to start looking for a brownie before too long. Hallelujah. So, you know, be careful what you put in your mouth. And the Bible says that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Listen to what's coming out of your mouth. Amen. Because what's coming out of your mouth is what's in your heart. If you say, I am just so tired, watch out. Watch out, because your body will start responding to what you say. And the Bible says, let the weak say, I'm strong. So when you feel weak, you shouldn't say, man, I'm just so tired. What you should say is, I'm strong. In the name of Jesus, I'm strong. Your body will respond to that. Hallelujah. So watch what you confess. Watch what you allow to get in your heart, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Amen? Then go with me to Hebrews 3:1. This is going to get you here. Hebrews 3:1. The Lord lit this up in me just the last month or so. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. So, Jesus is the high priest of your confession. Now, we need to start calling ourselves holy. And we need to start calling ourselves partakers of the heavenly calling. It'll give you a different mindset. If you think, you know, I'm a partaker of the heavenly calling. Woo, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm a holy brethren. Praise God. It'll keep you walking straight. It'll keep you out of sin. Amen. Hallelujah. But Jesus is the high priest of your confession. Hallelujah. He's listening to what you're saying to make it come to pass. Be careful what you say. Make sure you're speaking the word and you're talking in love. Hallelujah. Then move to Hebrews 4:14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Now, I would encourage you to not confess anything you can't hold fast to. You know, and, you know, if you say something about somebody, you know, I've told you before when I'm driving the car, sometimes I slip and I'll call somebody an idiot. You know, I say, you idiot, what'd you do that? But then, Lord, I repent. See, I'm not going to hold fast to that confession because it's not a godly confession about anybody. I don't want somebody speaking that over me, and I don't need to be speaking it over somebody else. So we need to have grace, grace, and more grace. Amen. So we want to say, Father, I just cast the power of those words in the name of Jesus. I thank you for helping them. Maybe they're having a rough day. Maybe they're not even from here and they're having to contend with all of this and they don't really know what they're doing. But I just choose to forgive in the name of Jesus. Amen. So we hold fast our confession. We should speak those things that we can hold fast to. Like we just talked about, I am a holy brethren. Amen. I'm a partaker of the heavenly calling. Hallelujah. And that's what we should be speaking over people, you know. It's tempting when somebody does something just stupid to say, yeah, you can't believe how stupid that was what they did. Well, that's not helping that person, speaking that thing, saying they did something stupid. Say, well, I'm just glad they're a partaker of the heavenly calling. I'm glad they're walking in a way to, you know, get us to the higher calling. Hallelujah. He's a holy brethren. Amen. Let's speak positive things. Hallelujah. All right, Revelations 12:11. We're talking about the importance of our confession as it pertains to being having a successful walk. Revelation 12:11, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. So they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony. Well, if you're not practicing the blood of the Lamb, if you don't resist the devil through the blood of Jesus, if you don't understand the power in the blood of Jesus, listen, the life is in the blood. So Jesus' life that he shed was in the blood that he took up to the mercy seat. Amen? And it was important that he shed that blood, that he give his life for us so that we could now receive him and have what he has for us. But he's talking about overcoming by the blood of the Lamb. You have to understand the power in that. And the word of their testimony, you overcome. Well, if you're confessing in line with what the devil's doing, you're not going to overcome anything. You're going to become a part of what he's doing here on this earth. You know, if you don't agree with a certain political vein, really the worst thing you can do is talk against them all the time. Just start speaking change. Amen. Just say, no, that's not a godly attitude. That's not a godly way to do things. We're going to see things in a godly light. You know, we're going to be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men in politics, from all the way from the mayor all the way up to the President of the United States. We don't want ungodly and wicked people in office directing our life, do we? So whoever those people are, you don't have to call them by name. Just say, we are delivered from ungodly and wicked men. Amen? Hallelujah. And whoever it is, God will start moving them out. Praise God. And start putting people in who will bring in godliness, who will lead us in a way that is honoring to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. All right, James 3:10. I like the book of James. James 3:10. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Hallelujah. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Now, you know, in Florida, I don't know if they have it other places. I imagine they do. They have what they call brackish water, and that's where salt water and regular water come together, and it smells like rotten eggs. It's a horrible smell. You don't want to live anywhere near a place where salt water, ocean water, and land water come together because it stinks horribly. And it's not good for anybody. It's not good for the salt fish. It's not good for the freshwater fish, you know, to get into all of that. And it just stinks. But he's saying here, you shouldn't have fresh and the other coming at the same time. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. This ought not to be. Spring, fresh water, and bitter from the same opening. Shouldn't be that way. We shouldn't be cursing on the one hand and blessing on the other. We get up in the morning and pronounce all of our blessings on all the people. We, in our prayers, we say, bless the president. We say, bless this one and bless that one. And then long before you know it, you've gotten over into, you know, all those people that you blessed. Now you're speaking against them. He's saying it ought not to be that way. You know, if you really believe the blessing you spoke in the morning, you need to keep your mouth shut. Don't undo what you did in the morning. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's keep our heart and our minds right in what we're speaking forth. All right, go with me to Psalm 37. Psalm 37, verse 30 and 31. The mouth of the righteous speaks wisdom, and his tongue talks of justice. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. If you want to make sure you're sure-footed, keep righteousness in your mouth and keep justice on your tongue, amen, and keep the law of the Lord in your heart. Because those are the things that are going to keep you from slipping and from sliding. Make sure you're not double-minded. You know, that's really, if you're not doing that, you're being double-minded. Just like James said, you know, you shouldn't have blessing and curse coming out of the same mouth. So we need to make up our mind, what do we want it to be? Amen? And we want it to be blessing. Hallelujah. All right, so this book of the law, we've seen the importance of that, shall not depart out of your mouth. That's talking about your confession, as well as just keeping the word of God in your mouth. Gerald said to me last night, I said something to him, and he said, you're always spouting the word of God. Yes. Say, yes. I didn't do that to him, but I thought, yes, yes, hallelujah. I'm going to keep speaking the word of God. Amen? Because that's our hope. That's our hope. Hallelujah. If we don't have hope in the Word of God, what have we got? Amen. So sometimes we don't like to hear it, but we need to. And we need to keep our heart in place so that if we're corrected, we can receive it and not be offended. Amen. Hallelujah. Just establish your heart there. Father, if I'm wrong, I want to know. And I'm not going to get offended at somebody saying something to me. I'm not going to get offended because I'm going to keep my heart right. And if you correct me through somebody, I'm going to receive correction if it comes through a donkey. You know, if a dog speaks it to me. However it comes, if a child speaks it. Listen, children can set some people straight too sometimes, you know. Amen. All right, so we're going to keep the word of God in our mouth. And then we're going to meditate on it day and night. Now go with me to Psalm 1. Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3. Blessed is the man. Do you want to be blessed? I want to be blessed. Blessed is the man or woman who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Now see, what we see here is a progression. First thing they do is walk with them. Walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Next thing, they're getting a little bit closer. They're standing in the path of sinners. And now they're sitting in the seat of the scornful. They're just taking up seat with them. You know, they're getting closer. He's saying, don't do that. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Be careful who you hang around. You know, and as a Christian, you need to be careful what you watch. You know, I know a lot of people are just crazy in love with Beyonce. And, you know, I believe she's saved. And if she is, I love her because she's a sister. But I'm telling you, I've seen her do some things that are not godly. I've heard her say some things that are not godly. You can't follow a person like that. Even though they call themselves saved, you can't follow that stuff because it will corrupt you. You start putting her songs in your heart, and next thing you know, you're going to be whoring around. You get it in your heart, next thing you know, you're going to do it. Be careful, especially you kids. Be careful what music you listen to. Don't let that stuff go in you where it talks about raping and it uses all kinds of ungodly words. Don't let that stuff get in you. Turn it off. Get away from it. Amen? Hallelujah. Because I'm telling you, there's a lot of bad stuff out there. But you need to stay into the Word of God. You know, I never was one to listen a lot to the radio. Some people love to listen to the radio. They listen to everything that comes on, godly or ungodly. Oh, woe is me, all the country stuff. Gerald says, I love country. I love gospel is what I love. And it has a little bit of a country flavor to it. But, you know, all these, you know, country songs, they're all about somebody done me wrong songs, you know. And I'm not into that. I don't listen to that kind of stuff, you know. Not saying that when I was a kid I didn't get one or two of those, but not many of them in me. Mostly what I got in me were hymns at church. And so you want to keep the Word of God in you, whether it's through music or whether it's through reading the Word. Amen? And we need to treasure our heart. We need to guard it. The Bible says guard it with all diligence because out of it come the issues of life. You know, and if you're just putting any old thing in there, you're going to be in trouble when the day of destruction knocks on your door because you're not going to know what to pull out. You're not going to have the appropriate things to pull out because you were listening to the wrong stuff, you know. Hallelujah. So, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight, whose delight? The blessed man. His delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, that really means word. And in his word, he meditates day and night. Constant fellowship. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Now, he's telling you what you can expect. When you meditate on the word day and night, this is what you can expect. To be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Listen, if you were a tree, isn't that where you'd want to be? By the rivers of water? It wouldn't be hard to tap into that water when you had need of it. That brings forth its fruit in its season. You're going to be seasonal. You're going to be bringing stuff forth when you need to and not when you don't need to. Your leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Listen, that's a healthy tree planted by the rivers of water. It's bringing forth fruit when it's supposed to. The leaves don't wither and dry up. It's a healthy tree. He's saying that's what you'll be like if you keep the Word of God in your heart. You'll be blessed. Amen? Hallelujah. But the key here is to meditate day and night. Meditate day and night. Well, what does that word meditate mean? It means to murmur. It means like a cow chewing the cud. You know how a cow will take a bite of whatever it's going to eat and it'll chew on, chew and chew and chew and chew. Now, they have two stomachs, so they'll swallow it and then they'll regurgitate it and they'll chew it some more and then it'll go down into another stomach. So meditate means to murmur, to utter, to study, to ponder, to imagine. Hallelujah. So meditate on the word day and night. When you read that story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, See yourself walking in that fire with Him. Bless God, I'm going to walk in that fire. Hallelujah. Because I know the Son of God's going to be in there. Just visualize yourself being victorious with Him. Amen. They told them they couldn't worship their God, and they said, oh, we'll worship our God. If we have to go into the fire, so be it. But we're going to worship our God all the way in, and they worshiped Him all the way out. Hallelujah. They didn't even smell like smoke when they came out. Praise God. Psalm 4:4. Be angry and do not sin. What does that say? You know, a lot of people think you're never supposed to get angry. Listen, God gave us that emotion. There is a time to get to be angry, but not to sin. Be angry and don't sin. How do you do that? Well, as a parent, if your child does something they're not supposed to do, you let them know, I'm angry that you did that. But that doesn't mean I don't love you. You know, I'm angry at what you did. You are not what you did. You know, you're not the sin. I love you. You're my child. But what you did was wrong. And I'm angry about that. But just don't sin. Then don't take it out on them and beat them up. Hallelujah. Be angry and do not sin. Meditate within your heart on your bed and be still. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. So meditate within your heart. That's an art that we don't have today. You know, most people, when you talk about meditating, they think of yoga. They think, oh, that's where you meditate. You go into you know, all that stuff. I'm not sure what that does. I mean, for me, I would want to do glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace, goodwill. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. You know, I want to meditate on something substantial. I don't want just vowels coming out of my head, you know. And, you know, let's meditate in the way God wants us to meditate. On our bed, day and night. He's wanting us to have peaceful sleep. And, you know, when you go to bed and you're all torn up and all aggravated and agitated, and then you just go right to sleep, you're not going to have the best night's sleep. But when you go to bed, you can cast the care over on the Lord. Say, you know, Father, today's been one of those days. And He knows anyway. He saw you. It's been a hectic day. But I choose, Father, just to forgive everybody that came up against me. And I pray if I offended anybody, Father, that they'll forgive me. Because I don't want to be offensive toward anybody. Now, Father, I'm just casting my care over on You. Because You said You'd care for me or care in my place. So I'm casting this care over on You, and I'm going to let You deal with it tonight while I sleep. Because He cares for you. Cast your care upon the Lord, for He cares for you. Amen? Hallelujah. So make a practice of going to bed. Go to bed a little bit earlier where you can start memorizing scriptures. You know, one of the things that Marilyn Hickey used to teach is that when you meditate, that there are three things that you do. Number one, you memorize. Number two, you personalize. And number three, you visualize. So when you see yourself as an overcomer, the first thing you're going to do is memorize that scripture that says you're an overcomer. The second thing you're going to do is personalize that verse. You know, well, just like Isaiah 55:11, so shall His word be that comes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return void, but it shall accomplish what I speak, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. I'm making this personal, okay? And I personalize this. Now I visualize it. Whatever I'm applying it to. You know, maybe you've got somebody at work that's giving you a hard time. Visualize speaking the word and seeing them walk in the love of God. Visualize the anointing coming down on them. Pray for them. Father, bless them. They probably got a lot that I don't even know about what they're dealing with. Who knows? They might have somebody at home dying of cancer and they just don't talk. You don't know. You don't know what people go through. Amen? So we need to be loving. We need to give people what we want them to give us. You know, you want to say to somebody, you don't know the day that I've had. You know, forgive me and excuse me because I've really had a bad day. You know, and well, praise God. Let's do that. Let's forgive somebody and excuse them because they had a bad day. But you do it for them too. Amen. It's not just about me getting grace and mercy. It's about giving it. Hallelujah. The more you give it, the more you'll get it because you reap what you sow. Hallelujah. So you want to memorize the scripture. You want to personalize it. And you want to visualize it. You want to see it coming to pass. Hallelujah. My God meets all of my needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I visualize that need coming to me. How's it coming? I don't know. I just see an angel bringing it to me. I don't know. Is it going to come in a check from somebody or a discount from somebody or how's it going to come? I don't know. But I know it's coming. I can see God sending it to me. Hallelujah. The angel's bringing it. Visualize it. Visualize it. Memorize. Personalize. Visualize. That's how you meditate on the Word of God. Start practicing that at night when you go to bed. Take a scripture and memorize, personalize, visualize it right before you go to bed. You know, some people have problems sleeping. Well, take that scripture that great peace. No, let's see. Psalms 2, 8, there. Yeah, he gives his beloved sweet sleep. I think it's 4. 4:8, Psalm 4:8. I will both lie down in peace and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. All right, if you have problems sleeping, memorize that verse. Memorize it. Personalize it. I will both lie down in peace and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, this is already kind of personalized, you make me dwell in safety. And then see it happening. Visualize yourself closing your eyes and going to sleep and having sweet sleep all night long. If you don't see it happening, if you don't confess it, it's going to be difficult to come. Amen? So we want to memorize, personalize, and visualize so that we can, you know, see those things, see the Word of God active and operative in our life. Some people don't ever see themselves successful. They always see themselves as a failure. Well, you're not a failure. You're not your circumstances. God doesn't see people as failures. He sees us as learners. And I love that, you know, that he sees you as a learner. Maybe you've missed it. Maybe you've missed it over and over and over. Maybe you used to have a closer walk and now you're just, you know, backslidden. God's not mad at you. He sent Jesus to die for you so that you could be saved. And He wants you to come back. He doesn't care if you've gotten away. What's more important to Him is that you come back. He's not going to condemn you and you know, criticize you. He may give you some instruction so that wouldn't happen again, but it will be loving instruction. Amen? Because God loves us. He's not out with some big stick trying to clobber us. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, we're going to stop here, and we've got some other things, and we'll just finish this out next week, hopefully. And, you know, we want to be successful in our Christian walk, and I think Joshua 1:8 is one of the best scriptures that we can look at. You know, like I said, he had a horrendous task in front of him, a horrendous task, you know, and look who he's following. You talk about not, you know, big shoes to fill, exactly, you know. I mean, this was Moses, you know. So God lovingly told him, he said, look, I can show you how to be successful. Keep the book of the law in front of you. Keep it in your mouth. And then we're going to look at the rest of it next week. But at least we'll get on the meditating part. We understand the importance of keeping the Word of God in front of us, keeping it in our heart and in our mouth. And then, you know, we need to meditate on it. So we've gotten that far. And that will take us part of the way to success. So work on that this week. And I'll give you some more stuff next week to work on, okay? Hallelujah. Well, stand up and let's worship God for a minute. Oh, Father, we just give you glory and honor. We thank you for the Word. We thank you for the Spirit. We thank you for your love and your care and always looking out for us. Oh, Father, we worship you. We adore you. We lay our lives before you. And we thank you, thank you, thank you for the Word. Hallelujah. Where would we be without the Word? Oh, my. We're so thankful. So thankful. And we give you praise and glory. And everyone said, amen. Now turn to your neighbor and say, hi, neighbor. I want you to know the blessing of the Lord makes you rich. And he adds no sorrow to it. You are the blessed of the Lord. And I say so. Now be blessed in your going out, in your coming in, your rising up, your lying down. May everything, I said everything, you put your hand to prosper in Jesus' name. And I believe it. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. Bless his wonderful name.